Thank you very much, Peter. Good morning. I brought some. Don't want to take back these at the end. You're welcome to pick up literature. Wow, the crowd has grown. Good morning. Again, my name's James Hospedales at the Pan American Health Organization. I didn't do my disclosure slide, but I have no conflicts to disclose. Recognize a number of co-authors on this work, including James Hill, who's here in the audience with me. In the next 15 minutes, I'll give you a bit of a glimpse of NCDs, the chronic non-communicable diseases, as the number one problem, health problem in the Americas, the costs to which are not sustainable. That's the bad news. The good news is there's a lot of good best buys, as WHO has dubbed them. But to do that, you really need partnerships, coalitions, networks. It's very interesting, the taxonomy, all of the foregoing presentations. What do we mean? Alliance, coalition, network, joint venture, partnership? You say partnership to an NGO and they scream, they say, no, you can't have private sector in the partnership. But what do you mean by? So it's interesting, and so some of our academic colleagues who are here would be interested to talk some more. BioNCD is not as clear as the DOT strategy for TB. It's 4x4. Heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, and chronic respiratory disease, and the four big risks. This is the real captain of death on the planet, the single biggest killer in the world, tobacco, sedentary lifestyle, harmful use of alcohol, and I don't tell you which hamburger this is, but unhealthy eating. So that's the bag. And in the Americas, because our region has the dubious distinction of being the fattest region of the six WHO region, the ministers of health have said that beside these 4x4, you've got to make obesity, and especially childhood obesity, a particular priority for our hemisphere. So that's what we mean by NCDs. We have a branding and communications challenge with this. There's no doubt about that. It's the number one killer in the region. Here you see the problem at a glance, and I ask you to start down the bottom of the slide. 250 million people in our hemisphere already have some chronic disease problem. Already, hypertension, diabetes, asthma, glaucoma. But about 4.9 million, that's the last year for which we have the complete data. 37% are below the age of 70, implications for Social Security. And there you see the distribution of the diseases. So the big four make up about 90% of it. The others are a small slice of the pie. And here are the risks. About 150 million smokers, 30 to 40% of adults are hypertensive, and 25% of people aged 15 years and older are obese. So that's the scorecard for the Americas. Not very healthy if you're responsible for the health of the Americas. That's my patch from Canada to Chile. If you look at the trends in mortality over time, here's the last 10 years of mortality data, and you see the cardiovascular is actually gradually coming down. Malignant neoplasms a little bit, but within this, for instance, cervical cancer is very flat, a very inequitable disease, very much more prevalent in the south than in the north. Diabetes is flat because obesity is going up at about 0.5% per year in most countries, and chronic respiratory also coming down a bit. These numbers are driven by two big populations, the United States and Brazil. Mexico, which is another big population, its mortality line is practically flat. It should be worried. If you're from Mexico in this audience, you should be. Some countries are going down even faster than the average. Costa Rica, Trinidad and Tobago, where I'm from, are coming down very fast. And some countries, which are now going through the demographic transition, are increasing in their chronic disease mortality rates. Countries like Peru, Paraguay, Guatemala, Guyana, they are increasing. So within the broad picture that I've just shared with you, there are trends and then there are differences depending on who you look at. Look at the money story. We have a huge and accelerating global economic burden. The direct and indirect costs are not sustainable. And we know it's a cause and an effect of poverty. And more I'm seeing how this problem drives you into poverty and drives families into poverty. You get diabetes and chronic kidney disease and need dialysis in South America, most of South America, and you are going to get poor and your family with you before you die miserably. This is the Harvard and World Economic Forum estimate of the global economic impact, a humongous impact. And for the low and middle income countries, about a $500 billion impact per year, When you think that President Obama, in rescuing the economy a few years ago, put about $700 billion into it once, this is a recurring cost every year. For some of the smaller Caribbean islands, like take Trinidad and Tobago, where I'm from, it's about the size of Rhode Island, just over a million people. For diabetes and hypertension, a 717 estimated million economic impact. Not sustainable. Skip that. This is the WHO Best Buy. So we talk about the interventions that work. Approximately $9 billion a year to do this package of tobacco, alcohol, diet, physical activity. Tobacco control, salt reduction are some of the most highly cost-effective return on investments, benefit-cost ratios, 30-1, 20-1 for tobacco and salt, respectively. Most of these actions are not in the purview of the Ministry of Health. This is legal affairs, finance, attorney general, consumer affairs, and local government, and so on. And that's a challenge to work outside of the health sector. The ones in red are more the purview of the health sector, and there are interventions there that make a big difference that are not sufficiently rolled out as yet. We're, in our region, we're pretty good at this one, hepatitis B immunization. We're a lot worse at screening and treatment of precancerous lesions to prevent cervical cancer. That really is a disgrace, what we have. We have 70,000 new cases and 30,000 deaths in Latin America, about 7 to 8 times more the rate than in North America. But if you put that sort of evidence into a package, some sort of package, then you can show, as The Lancet did, 20% reduction in tobacco use, 15% reduction in salt, and getting 60% of people with hypertension onto preventive treatment with simple drugs would save about 3 million lives in our region and save an awful lot of money. That's the background to the UN political declaration on NCDs. And here you see the Prime Minister, President of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff. An interesting lady, because she was campaigning on chemotherapy when she was elected a couple of years ago. And she's been very strong on health and on NCDs in particular. And there's Margaret Chan and the UN Secretary General. So they argued for this whole of government and whole of society approach. And the rest of my talk, I'm going to focus on that. We PAHO, Pan-American Health, have put together this Pan-American Forum for Action on NCD, which is a platform that brings all of government and society together to confront the epidemic. And these are some of the moving from the declarations of the UN high-level meeting last year, or the declarations of our own governing bodies, specifics, trying to get specific now on which are the interventions. So under this umbrella of the forum, a number of partnerships are being created, as you see there. And the idea of the forum is to have a place to discuss transformations that are needed to strengthen and establish, either strengthen existing or strike up new ones, create synergy and address underlying risks, support the member states, and promote and scale up best practices. So it's similar to and different from other global partnerships. And again, I would be really interested to talk more to academic colleagues about this. What has happened? We had our first meeting in Brasilia in May of this year. And we had, for us, for the Pan-American Health Organization, it was unusual to have officials from 36 countries, officials, senior people from 24 private companies, 45 NGOs, and 6 international organizations. That's not usual. We usually speak to ourselves. So to have quite a lot of civil society there, and to have private sector there was like, whoa. And so senior officials from members from ministries of health said, this was different. This was uncomfortable, but we need it. And that was a validation of this kind of approach. We've put a lot of effort into the internal mechanisms. As colleagues who study it would know, you need, we have a shared commitment statement, we have rules and regulations, a trust fund. We have mechanisms for managing conflict of interest, which are inherent in this kind of work, an advisory steering group, and a work plan. We've taken some flak for that recently, that we've gone so far as to have private sector at the table and private sector giving us funds. Some of the alliances these are some of the actors that are together there. The World Economic Forum has been our core partner, the Public Health Agency of Canada, Inter-American Heart, to name a few. One of the specific partnerships that we're focusing on, because this avoids 600,000-700,000 deaths in our region by tackling by getting at hypertension. So there's a SALT consortium that's been set up between government, food industry, and consumers organizations. And some countries, I mean, Argentina, Brazil, Canada, are moving very well to reduce salt in the diet. This one focuses on the built environment, and is a policy forum that we just held at the World Bank with the American College of Sports Medicine, and really focusing on the built environment and how you can change and get a healthier healthier streets and healthier use of buildings and so on. This one was the Wellness Week that was launched last year at the time of the UN high-level meeting, and this year we're still counting just how far it has spread. But we think over 100 cities have taken it up. This is Don Francisco, the host of Sábado Gigante. It's the single biggest watch show in our hemisphere, so he's a good vehicle for... actually, he's an institution, so we should study him. He's been around for... This show has been around for 40 years. So what are the tricks that he has managed to learn? So this was a terrific one. We for PAHO itself, we did a healthy lunch for the delegates, the ministers of health who came to the annual policy meeting with the Sister to Sister NGO group, and we had a big walk for health in DC. We have developed also a partnership toolkit. People talk about multi-stakeholder work, but there is less how to do it around than there needs to be. So we have developed, we piloted it in Mexico City a few weeks ago. It was piloted in, it will be piloted in India this week by colleagues in the World Economic Forum. And that really has a step-by-step approach to building a partnership or a coalition between multiple sectors, public, private, and civil society. This one involves the Television Programmers Association of Latin America. We have a communication strategy. A few weeks ago, the board of directors of PAHO, that is all the ministers of health, approved the new strategy for the Americas, and they've adopted this 25% reduction in debts from NCDs by 2025. We are on track as a whole to do that. As I mentioned earlier, some countries are going to have a hard time individually making a 25% reduction, including one of the big ones, Mexico. So we need to help Mexico. Almost at the end, lots of challenges in this, mobilizing appropriate human and financial resources. So we're pooling resources from different entities to try to minimize conflict of interest. We have secondments from industry. Multi-stakeholder action, people talk it. It ain't easy to do. People don't like to leave their egos, and everybody wants to be in charge. You take cancer, there's Komen here. I count 10 global cancer initiatives that include Komen, and everybody wants to be the best. And everybody wants to, so we have a strategy that we're going to let everybody think they're in charge, but really we are. it needs a paradigm shift even inside of our own organization to work in this way. A key issue for managing conflict interest is to separate the what, which is determined by public health authorities, from the how, because that's where you've got to get everyone together. Mechanisms for managing conflict of interest and achieving the goal of behavior change, a challenge. I conclude where I started. We have a big problem. It's not sustainable in the Americas. A really big problem. And there are solutions. It requires everyone to implement together. Thank you very much.
All right, so I just want to thank all of our panelists. If we could give them another round of applause for their presentations this morning. Thank you.